Seek the Lord's help for coming together this evening. Let's pray.
Our gracious, eternal and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you indeed for the opportunity to gather here this evening. And Lord, with the psalmist we can say, I will bless the Lord at all times. Indeed, I never will cease to praise Him. He's done so much for me. And Lord, as we reflect on what the Lord has done for each and every one of us, Lord, as we think about Calvary, as we think about that great love that was demonstrated on that center cross, Lord, as we think of that precious blood that was shed, surely, Lord, of all the people tonight in the world, we should never cease to praise the Lord. We praise Him for Calvary, we praise Him for His life, we praise Him for His death and resurrection, and Lord, we even look forward with expectation to that wonderful coming again. Lord, as we gather here this evening, we do pray especially that Thou would be one of our number. We pray, Lord, that we might hear from Thee tonight. Lord, as we come to the Word of God, as we read it, as we seek to expound it, we pray, Lord, You'll speak into all of our hearts. Encourage Thy children here this evening. Lord, we've been on this subject of praying for some weeks, and we just pray, Lord, that we'll be encouraged to pray. And Lord, that we will pray more regularly, more effectively, more fervently, because the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So Lord, bless all who have gathered. Bless our time around the Word. Remember a little later on as we gather around the throne of grace again, we look to Thee, Lord, to just even grant us liberty in the place of prayer as we seek Thy face for the work of the assembly here and for those who need that touch from Thee. For those who have been bereaved in recent times, Lord, we commit and commend them all to Thee. Mindful again tonight of those in hospital, remember Randall, and we pray for Randall. We pray, Lord, You'll put Your hand upon him. We pray, Lord, soon he'll be enabled to get home again. Remember Louise as well, and we just commit that family circle to Thee, and pray, Lord, You'll draw nigh in a special way. Continue to remember Roberta and Margaret, and pray, Lord, You'll be with them, and we thank You for the good report that Margaret got today, and we pray, Lord, You'll continue to be with her, and Lord, that indeed the treatment she's taken will have the desired effect. And Lord, and indeed she will know better health in days to come. So Lord, be with us tonight. Shut us in with Thyself. And Lord, just again, help us to hear from Thee tonight. For it's in and through our Saviour's precious name we pray. Amen. Let's come to the book of Jonah tonight, chapter 2, please. Thank you again for coming out this evening. I do appreciate your support. Jonah chapter 2, we've been spending a number of weeks in prayer. Last week we talked about that courageous prayer, a daring prayer, when we would just get before the Lord and say, search me, O God, and know my heart. And what a challenge that is to our hearts. Tonight we're looking at emergency prayer. There are times when situations arise that we just haven't expected and they come unannounced. And just in that moment, we just want to get down before the Lord and pray. Sometimes these things are caused by our lack of praying, but sometimes they're not. Sometimes situations just hit us between the eyes. And maybe it has happened and we haven't prayed. And maybe God is saying to us tonight that we need to pray. Jonah chapter 2, and we'll read from verse number 1, please. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about, and all thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottom of the mountains, and the earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet thou hast brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came unto thee, into thine holy temple. We'll end at verse number 7. And we are looking to the Lord to bless the reading of our own precious, infallible, inerrant, and inspired word to our hearts this evening. As I said, sometimes we face situations that are totally unexpected, and really all we can do is just pray, like Nehemiah when he had to go into the king and he was looking a favour from the king, his employer, and just quietly, just before he went in, he just prayed. It's like going for a job interview and just seeking the Lord's help just before you enter the door or into the emergency theatre or in to see the doctor, whatever it happens to be. Just when we really get down and pray those emergency prayers. As I said, sometimes perhaps if we spent more time in prayer, we can avoid those situations, because sometimes through lack of prayer we find ourselves in these particular predicaments, and perhaps we should have prayed earlier. But again, I'm not trying to say that's the case in every situation tonight. But I believe here, Jonah's recalling his experience as he's thrown overboard and he ends up in the belly of this great fish, and he prayed in a way that he'd never prayed before. When we looked at national prayer, we mentioned Paul's words to Timothy. I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. And Paul was encouraging Timothy to put prayer first. So often prayer is last. And as I said, sometimes when we should be praying, we're not. And then we find ourselves in these situations when we have to hit rock bottom. And when we hit rock bottom like Jonah, then we start to pray. And sometimes we get asked the question, what's it going to take to get us to pray? What's it going to take to get us on our knees? Prayer should be a priority, not just a necessity. Sometimes we use prayer like a fire extinguisher. When there's a fire there, we want to put it out. Rather than praying and prayer becoming a way of life, it shouldn't be an emergency. It should be a remedy. When you look in the New Testament, there's that story of Jairus' daughter. And you remember she had an infirmity, and it seems her father never thought of seeking the Lord at that stage. Then that infirmity becomes worse. We read that she's at the point of death. Then he wants to go and seek the Lord. And on his way to meet the Lord, of course, the little girl died. And what was an infirmity became a tragedy and then became an impossibility. And sometimes we only go to the Lord when it's an impossibility. Now we thank God he is the God of the impossible. And that's what we find with Jairus. Are we waiting until the situation we find ourselves in is an impossibility before we start to pray? Or is God saying to us tonight we need to be praying without ceasing, as Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 17. Jonah wasn't certainly praying always. He wasn't in the habit of praying. He was moved to pray. He was moved to pray because of his location. Verse number 2 says he was in the belly of hell. That's the words that he used. He was moved by his affliction. Verse 2 again said, I cried by reason of mine affliction. He was moved to pray by desperation. Verse 4, then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. And it took this to motivate him to pray. Of course, we know a little bit about the background of Jonah. Most of us have heard the story from we were children. We see him in chapter 1, verse 2. He's refusing to obey God. It says, God said, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. God has told him to go, and of course, Jonah doesn't go. He disobeys the word of God. Verse number 3, you see him running away from God. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He's doing exactly what God asked him not to do. He was to go to Nineveh, but he doesn't. He goes to Tarshish and he gets into this ship and he heads away totally in the opposite direction. When you come to verse 5 in chapter 1, you find him not only running away from God, but he's relaxing in the storm. Look at verse 5. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. He's sleeping. It's interesting, you'll read that some of the mariners here are actually praying, but Jonah's sleeping. And it is true, sometimes when God's people are battling in prayer, there are those that are sleeping. I remember a former pastor of mine, when he was in his home church, he said that he remembered doing some outreach in Bangor in County Down, and they were rushing because the prayer meeting was on. And he said, we were rushing around Bangor, we were giving out tracts, we were witnessing, and we were trying to get back to our own church, to the prayer meeting. And he said, we saw the church secretary. Thank God our secretary is not like this. And he was sitting in Bangor Prom licking ice cream. He wasn't even going to the prayer meeting. And some people were relaxing when God's people are battling in prayer. And these people were praying, but Jonah was relaxing. He was even revealing to the world his disobedience. That's never a good thing for a child of God. Look at verse 10. Then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. And Jonah was obvious living a life of disobedience to the Lord. And that was no testimony. That's an awful way to live in front of these pagan mariners. And really, by the way we live, by the way we speak, by how we treat the Word of God and the house of God and the holiness of God. And you can see that Jonah's not looking great in chapter 1. He was refusing God's Word. He was running from God's will. He was avoiding God's work. He was even advertising his disobedience. He's running from God. He's relaxing in the storm. He's revealing his disobedience. And I think there's even a reluctance to pray here. Look at verse 17, down at the end of chapter 1. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Let's call it 72 hours. And then look at chapter 2, verse 1. See the word then. Then. It took him 72 hours in the belly of the fish before he thought of prayer. The rich man that died and was buried and in hell lifted up his eyes. He didn't wait 72 hours to cry. But here's Jonah. It took him so long to pray. It seemed, as far as Jonah was concerned, and it's his circumstance we're thinking of tonight, that prayer was going to be the last resort. It was going to be an emergency prayer. He wasn't making prayer a habit of his life. Prayer was only for emergency situations. And dear child of God, we're like that at times. When someone's unwell in our family, yes, we'll pray. When tragedy strikes, when danger comes, when trouble comes, when we have something to face, then we'll pray. Just like Jonah, prayer is not a way of life for some. And I've wanted to encourage the people of God to make prayer a way of life. Now let's look at this quickly this evening. Notice Jonah's circumstances here in chapter 2 verse 2. I think Jonah is suffering physically. Then he said, I cried by reason of my affliction. He was in a tight spot. Indeed, that word affliction or distress comes from a verb meaning to bind, to restrict, to cramp. Physically, he's suffering. Mentally, he's suffering. Verse 7, when my soul fainted within me. And of course, spiritually, he's suffering. He's away from the Lord. His life is in a shambles. Now look at chapter 1, verse 15. Who threw Jonah into the sea? Well, the answer is given in chapter 1, verse 15. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea. Who does Jonah credit it with? Look at chapter 2, verse 3. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the sea. The floods have compassed me about, all thy billows, thy waves. Do you see what Jonah realized? That this was a judgment from God. Even though the mariners had lifted him up and thrown him into the sea, as far as Jonah was concerned, this was a punishment from God. This was chastisement from God. He knew spiritually he wasn't right. He had refused the word of God. He had disobeyed. He had run away from the will of God. He had avoided the work of God. He slept while others toiled. And now he's suffering at the chastening hand of God. Proverbs 3 verse 11, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. And sometimes God has to step into our lives in this manner because we've been heading in the wrong direction. He was quite literally in a wheel of a mess. Look at verse number 6 in chapter 2. I just want you to see the circumstances here. He said, I went down to the bottoms of the mountain. I just stopped there. I went down to the bottom. He couldn't sink any lower. He just couldn't get any lower. Things were so bad for Jonah. He was in rock bottom situation. Then Jonah starts to pray. What's it going to take to get us to pray? Do you see Jonah's circumstances? And then we see Jonah's cry. Look at chapter 2, verse 2 again. And said, I cried by reason of mine affliction. And here's Jonah, and he's coming, and he's crying unto God. Look again at verse number 1. Then Jonah prayed. I've already mentioned this, I could say something when I called here previous. He didn't pray when he was fleeing from the presence of God in chapter 1 verse 3. He didn't pray when he was on the ship in the midst of a storm. Indeed, as we pointed out, he was fast asleep. The captain wakened him up in verse number 6 and he asked him to cry unto God. We don't read that Jonah even prayed then. Didn't pray when he was running from God. He didn't pray when he was on the storm. He was fast asleep. He didn't even pray when the captain seems to ask him to pray. Look at chapter 1 verse 5 again. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man to his God. As I said, these ungodly men were praying and Jonah was sleeping. Why is Jonah not praying when he's gone through all the... He still had the ship. And I think Jonah thought, this ship will be all right. This ship will get me where I want to go. And so Jonah thinks he doesn't need to pray. Do you know what God did? God took the ship away from him. And dear child of God, sometimes we become so attached to something, someone. Sometimes God has to take the ship away. Because we're depending too much on the ship. Whether it's ourselves, our finances, our abilities, whatever it happens to be, we're trusting in what we have, in what we can do, and we're so much depending on this ship. Sometimes God has to take the ship away so that we may begin to trust in Him. Jonah had to be in the fish's belly before he would call into the Lord. A rotten, dark, dreary, dangerous place. And then he starts to cry unto God. What's it going to take to get us into the habit of praying? John Bunyan said, prayer will make a man cease from sin, or sin will entice a man to cease from prayer. And because Jonah was living a disobedient life, I would think that he had no prayer life. Therefore, prayer wasn't a habit to him. Prayer wasn't the normal to him. Prayer was abnormal for him. And it's only when he hit rock bottom that he started to pray. Do you see something previous here? Then you see something precious. Look at verse 1 again. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God. Disobedient, rebellious Jonah prayed unto the Lord, but you notice what it said, the Lord his God. Isn't that comforting tonight? No matter how far we sink, no matter how low we got, and Jonah was at the bottom, God was still his God. I have 3 children tonight. No matter what they do, they'll always be my children. No matter what they do. And no matter what we do, we're always God's children. We belong to Him. And even though Jonah had hit rock bottom and he was away from the Lord, he still was a child of God. Do you see something precious? Do you see the passion here in verses 1 and 2 as well? Here's Jonah's cry, something previous, something precious. Then the passion. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried. I can just see Jonah here. He's not concerned about the words he's going to use. He's not concerned about getting everything right, although he does have a lot of good things in his prayer. But Jonah realizes he just has to cry unto God. Now's the time just to really come passionately, faithfully, and fervently before the Lord. This is not an outward show, because no one else is listening. It's just Jonah and God. That's how we always should pray, you know. We should never pray to impress someone with our words. In fact, the Lord condemns that. Our prayers are just between us and God. It's as if it's just the Lord and me. And that's what it was for Jonah. There's no show here. There's no Jonah trying to impress anyone. Just in brokenness he's coming and crying unto God. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Paul said in Romans 9, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. I've said this about Paul before. Paul once said that he had a desire to be with Christ, which is far better, but it was more needful for him to stay. Paul says, I'm willing to stay out of heaven to reach people with the gospel. And here's what he's saying in Romans 9, I'm willing to go to hell to keep people out of it. That's the burden, that's the passion that the Apostle Paul had. We read in Isaiah 38 about Hezekiah. Go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. I've often lifted that little phrase out and shared it with people. God says, I have seen thy tears. God can see those who are broken, those who are passionate, those who really mean what they're saying. And here's a man, Jonah, and Jonah is really broken and he's crying passionately unto the Lord. I read about a man called William Burns standing in Glasgow one day and the tears were running down his eyes and his mum asked him, what's wrong with you? He said, I'm weeping, and I know the story is told about McShane as well. I'm weeping at the sight of multitudes, many of them going through life and to death without Christ. Real burden, real passion. You see Jonah, you see what had happened previously with them. You see something precious. Even though he's away from the Lord, it still has God. You see the passion he has. Do you see something perverse? Look at chapter 1, verse 3. I'm just lifting little thoughts out of this prayer, and hopefully it strikes a chord with someone this evening. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Did you notice that Jonah wanted away from the presence of the Lord? He didn't want to be under the authority of God. He just wanted to get away. And of course, in a way, we can never get away from the presence of the Lord. But Jonah wanted away from the presence of the Lord. Now, look at chapter 2, verse 4, in this prayer. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. Be careful what you ask for. Be careful what you wish. Jonah says, I want out of the sight of God. Now he's hit rock bottom. And he says, I'm out of your sight. I've no doubt Jonah would have regretted making that statement. The faraway fields didn't turn out to be very green for Jonah. Sometimes God will give us what we want to teach us a lesson. Didn't he give Israel a king? Didn't he tell Samuel, and Samuel fought against it? And I'm paraphrasing, he said, Samuel, give them what they want. Careful what you want. Be careful what you wish for. Make sure it's something that God wants you to have. You see something previous, you see something precious, you see the passion here, you see something perverse. Here's something that's packed. This prayer is packed with Scripture. Jonah really knew the Word of God. Proverbs 28 verse 9 says, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. If I was to take time tonight, for instance, in verse number 2, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Psalm 120 verse 1, in my distress I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. Psalm 18 verse 6, in my distress I called upon the Lord, and cried unto the Lord, and he heard my voice. Look at verse number 3. All thy billows and thy waves are passed over me. Psalm 42 verse 7. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. We could go right down through this prayer. He quotes from Psalm 18, Psalm 31, Psalm 69, Psalm 16, Psalm 18 again, Psalm 50. Look at verse number 9. I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay, not that I have vowed. Psalm has said, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. It seems that Jonah really knew the Word of God. And the Word of God and prayer go hand in hand. We talk to God through prayer. Isn't it obvious, isn't it? God talks to us through His Word. And when we come to the Word of God, we are encouraged to pray. And we see what we can pray for. We can pray for the lost. For the Word of God says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We know we can pray for the whosoever. We can pray for people who are burdened. Psalm 55 verse 22, cast thy burden upon the Lord and he shall sustain thee. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved. We can pray for the lonely tonight because the Lord has said, I will never leave them nor forsake them. We can pray for those who are lacking because God has said, my God, Paul said of God, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in Christ glory by Christ, riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Do you remember what the apostles said in the early church? We will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. The word of God gives us enlightenment. Prayer gives us enablement. And as we read the Word of God, our faith is increased because faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And that increases our faith when it comes to pray. God speaks through the written Word and we speak through prayer. Someone has said this. When people, and I'm paraphrasing it, I'm making it in a way that we will understand it. When people don't really want to listen to what God says to them through His Word, can we expect God to listen to us when we speak to Him in prayer? And there's a connection. The Word of God teaches us what to ask for and how to pray, but it's more than that. If we don't want to listen to God, can we really expect God to listen to us? Jonah knew the Word of God. And it's important if we really want to be prayer warriors that we have an understanding of the Word of God. You see something previous, you see something precious, the passion, something perverse, how it's packed with Scripture. Here's something to ponder. Look at verse 4 again in chapter 2. Then I said, I am out of thy sight, yet I will look again unto thy holy temple. Why would he want to look to the holy temple? It was the place of sacrifice. It was the place of forgiveness. And Jonah knew he would find forgiveness with the Lord. And of course, in the New Testament, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Now, look at verse number 7, what Jonah says. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. He remembered the Lord. He remembered what God can do in the past. He remembered what God can do in the future, and indeed what God is able to do. When we meditate on the Lord, when we think of the Lord, then we'll talk to him. Jonah remembered the Lord. I was talking to someone last night. I think it was last night. He lost his wife just about 10 days ago. They'd been married for 50 years plus. This man's in his 90s. And he thanked me for a letter that Marcella had sent him. We'd been at the funeral and Marcella had written to him, "This lady was so good to us when we were down in East Belfast. She was such a godly lady." But you would never write to someone unless you were thinking about them. And unless you're thinking of the Lord, unless you're meditating on the Lord, then you're not going to speak to the Lord. And Jonah remembered God. And when we remember the Lord, then we want to speak to the Lord. Look at the place where Jonah prayed. This is very simple, isn't it? Verse 1, "Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and they heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I." What a scene for a prayer meeting. At the bottom of the ocean, in the midst of this great fish. What a strange place to pray. Daniel, of course, he prayed in his house in Daniel 6 verse 10. "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, his windows being open in the chamber towards Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime." The Lord prayed on the mountain in Luke 6 verse 12. "It came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray." Peter prayed on a rooftop of a house, Acts 10 verse 9, "On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour." Do you remember the prayer meeting in Philippi about the riverside in Acts 16 verse 30? Do you remember Paul and Silas there in a prison cell, and they made it a place of prayer? It doesn't matter where we are. The Lord was nailed to a cross. And yet he says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." No matter where the place is, no matter how dark, how dreary, how difficult, you can make it a place of prayer. And we see that in the life of Jonah. Look at verse 4 in Jonah chapter 2. And I like this little phrase. "Then I said, I am cast out of the sight, yet..." That tells me something. "Yet I will look again toward thy holy temple." Yet and again. I believe Jonah prayed in faith. Jonah believed that God could answer and God would answer his prayer. James tells us in James 1 verse 6 and 7, "Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. And let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord." I wonder sometimes, and we often talk about Rhoda, and you remember when Peter was in prison and prayer was made without ceasing of the church for him, and they prayed and they prayed that Peter would be set free. When Peter came to the door and Rhoda went to answer it and said, "It's Peter," they didn't believe. What's the point in praying if you don't really believe that God can answer? Jonah says, "Yet and again, I will look toward thy holy temple." Here's another little thing I want to point out tonight. Look at verses 1 and 2 again. "Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of hell." Hell here is the word Sheol. It's sometimes talking about the grave. Sometimes it's talking about the unseen world. It's equivalent to Hades in the New Testament. You remember the rich man died and was buried, and in Hades he lifted up his eyes being in torment. And remember, in that place he could see Abraham. Because that was before Calvary, and there were, if you like, two compartments. There was the those who were living in bliss, and those who were being tormented. And the question is asked, and Graham, in fact, asked me at the door, he always asks the hard questions. Do you think Jonah died? Do you think that Jonah died? Well, many people believe that he did, because Sheol and Hades are all part of the afterworld. Look at verse number 6. I went down to the bottom of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Now, I'm told in Elizabethan English that term, the earth with her bars, was a way death was spoken of. And it's always talking about death. And you see it talks about corruption. Do you remember it talked about the Lord, thou wilt save him for corruption? That was talking about his resurrection. And again, the same word is used of Jonah as well. And of course, Jonah is presented as a sign. Do you remember the Lord said, as Jonah was in the sea for 3 days and three nights, it was the same sign that Christ would die and would rise again on the third day. Now, I'm not going to be dogmatic about it this evening. It may be poetic language. It was a near-death experience. But let me share this with you, and it's just to make us think tonight. I wonder, do you remember Jonah was sent to Nineveh to warn sinners about the danger of hell? His message was repent, repent, repent. And Jonah couldn't care less about them. Jonah says, I'm not going. Jonah, really, what Jonah was saying, they can go to hell. I wonder when Jonah went down into the depths. I wonder, did he get a glimpse of hell? Because remember, Abraham could see the rich man in hell. He could see one that was tormented. He says, I am tormented. And I wonder, did Jonah get a glimpse of hell? I wonder, is that why he started to pray? Is that what took him to Nineveh, where there was that great revival? William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, said, and I know this has often been quoted, most Christians would like to send their recruits to Bible college for 5 years. I would like to send them to hell for 5 minutes. That would do more than anything else to prepare them for a lifetime of compassionate ministry. It would have some effect in our prayer life, wouldn't it? It would have some effect in our service for the Lord. If we could just get a glimpse of hell and see the torment of a soul. We would want to be praying for our loved ones, wouldn't we? We would want to be reaching out to our friends. We would do what we could to get people in under the sound of the gospel. I need to move on. You see Jonah's circumstances. You see Jonah's cry. And then you see Jonah's comfort here. And I've tried to point this out practically every night we've come to prayer. Look at verse 1 again. Jonah chapter 2. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord. And here's three beautiful words. He heard me. I've said it every night and I'll say it again. God listens to, God hears, and God answers prayer. Prayer makes a difference. If you want to make a difference, you have to be a man or woman of prayer. Prayer really works. And I know when I say that, I don't want to take away the glory from God. God works in answer to prayer. If I can put it like that this evening, God answers. Sometimes God answers with a denial. If the great Apostle Paul could say, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, and God didn't give Paul what he asked for. If Paul was answered with a no, we can be answered with a no. Sometimes it's a delay. Do you remember the sisters and Lazarus was sick and they wanted the Lord to come. And when he had heard therefore he was sick, he abode 2 days. And sometimes the Lord says no. Sometimes he says not yet. Sometimes he says yes in a different way. I think that's true. We looked at it on our first night in Genesis 18. Abraham was praying that the cities would be spared. But God didn't spare the cities, but he spared Lot. And God answered Abraham's prayer in a different way. He answered according to his will. But there's one thing for sure. As James points out, ye have not, because ye ask not. Do you see Jonah's circumstances tonight? Jonah's cry, Jonah's comfort, the Lord heard him. Let me mention Jonah's complacency. I've mentioned this already, and I want to finish in this evening. Look at chapter 1, verse 4 again. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. The storm's raging, the ship is being tossed up and down, the boards are creaking, the ship is taking in water. Why did he not pray in the storm? As I said, because he had the ship. Why did he not pray when the sailors threw him overboard? Surely you would think that's the time to pray. When Peter began to sink, he cried, Lord, save me. He didn't wait till he got to the rock bottom. Peter cried immediately. Why did Jonah hang on? And this is just speculation. I'll admit that this evening. Maybe Jonah was a good swimmer. Maybe Jonah thought, I'll get some of the wreckage, I'll hold on to it, and I'm still going to be okay. And Jonah thought, things aren't bad enough yet to pray. Maybe this will take me into the shore. And sometimes we do that as well. We think we can get ourselves out of the situation, and we don't pray rather than calling on to the Lord for help. Why did he not pray when the fish swallowed him? Because you remember what we read. He was there for 72 hours before he prayed. I would think the moment that big fish would shut his mouth, I would like to think I'd be on my knees. But it seemed to have taken 72 hours for Jonah to pray. Why? I wonder at the beginning, did Jonah think there's no point praying? You see, on the ship, it seemed a little thing. I'm not going to pray. God's not interested in the small things. When he was in the fish for 24 hours, it seemed this is too big for God. There's no point praying. Do we not do the same? Sometimes we think the problem's too small to bother God with. And then the problem becomes so big. I think there's no point going to God now. It's too late now. Things are so bad. There's not going to be anything that God is able to do. Jonah was in the storm. He was in the sea. He was in the stomach. And he's still not praying. And Jonah had to hit rock bottom after 72 hours in the belly of hell at the bottom of sea. Jonah came to a place where he realized he could do nothing for himself. He had no ship, he couldn't swim, and he couldn't escape. And then he cries unto God. I wonder if he had to pray it earlier. Wonder if he had to pray it on the boat, would he have been spared the storm? I wonder if he had to pray it earlier, would things have happened? And I take my hands off and say I understand the sovereignty of God. And this was a picture of the death, burial and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But in chapter 2 verse 1, I go back to it again, and I'm finished now in a second. I go back to that word, then Jonah prayed unto God. What's your then? What's my then? At what point are you going to take prayer seriously? At what point are you going to be like Jonah and just fall down and cry unto God? and just throw everything onto Him. We ask the question again, and we're not being judgmental, we're not being condescending, because I'm asking myself the question. What's it going to take for us to take prayer seriously and realize if we're ever going to be any use to God, if anything's going to happen in Refreeland Baptist Church, whether in this building or the nice new building, we need a band of men and women and young people who will commit to pray. Let's pray in a moment's prayer.